WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. 1980s San Francisco is having quite a moment. The January 11th issue of The New Yorker had a vivid essay by Rachel Kushner called The Hard Crowd about female coming of age in that city in that decade. It's the title essay of Kushner's forthcoming collection. And now there's Venda Levita's new novel, We Run the Tides, which our book critic Maureen Carrigan says is extraordinary. Here's her review.
The year is probably too young to make this kind of pronouncement, but the new novel I know I'm going to be rereading in the coming months and spending a lot of time thinking about is Venda Levita's We Run the Tides. It's a tough and exquisite sliver of a short novel whose world I want to remain lost in and at the same time am relieved to have outgrown. We Run the Tides is set in the mid-1980s in the Seacliff neighborhood of San Francisco, which is perched, as its name suggests, on the very edge of the Pacific with views of the Golden Gate Bridge. In the next decade, that neighborhood will be out of reach for everyone but multi-multi-millionaires. But in the 80s, some weathered, funky old houses remain. The 13-year-old girls at the center of this story, a squad of four, are, like Seacliff, perched on the very edge, too. The edge of sexual activity, for sure, but also the recognition that some things they do or say now are for keeps and will change who they become as adults. Our spectacular narrator and main character is named Ulaby. Her family, like Venda Levita's own, is part Swedish. Ulaby's voice is as distinctive as her name. She's the kind of adolescent who reads Milan Kundera in her downtime, and yet she's also a goof. Here's a passage early in the novel where Ulaby's soaring self-regard and dopiness collide. We know the high school boy who lives next door to me. The boy often has a group of his high school friends over to watch football in his living room. From my garden, I can see when they're watching a game. There's a 3-foot gap between the edge of our property and his house, and sometimes I leap through his window and land on the floor of his living room. I am that daring. I am a daring enigma. I fantasize that one of them will invite me to the prom. And then one afternoon, one of the boys grabs the waistband of my guest's jeans. I try to get away and I run in place like a cartoon character. The boys all laugh. I'm upset for days. I know that this gesture and their laughter mean that they think of me as a little girl and not as a prospective prom date. After that, their window is kept closed. Ulaby speaks to us in present tense, which makes her voice, coming to us from the dim reaches of 1984, more poignant. Because even as we're listening to her, we know that yearning girl doesn't exist anymore. She's grown up. Ulaby's best friend and the queen bee of the friend quartet is named Maria Fabiola. And in this novel about transformations of place and identity, Maria Fabiola herself is in the midst of a rare change. She's maturing into a great beauty. Here's Ulaby recalling a morning when, as usual, she and Maria Fabiola stop at the house of another friend for the walk to school. Julia's mom opens the door and smiles at me and then at Maria Fabiola. I have an idea, she says as Julia comes to the door. Let's take a photo of you girls. She retrieves her camera and the three of us line up. Maria Fabiola is in the middle. Julia and I stare at each other as the shutter closes. We both know Maria Fabiola's recent transformation from ordinary to otherworldly beauty inspires everyone to want to capture it. You girls look great, Julia's mom says, not looking at me. One other thing about Maria Fabiola, as her name suggests, she's a fabulist, a teller of elaborate lies. But some of the lies she generates will rupture the friend group, ostracizing Ulibi. Shortly afterwards, Maria Fabiola disappears, the victim of an apparent kidnapping. There are so many moods and story currents running through this wonder of a novel, whose striking title comes from the fact that Ulibi and Maria Fabiola know how to read the tides, so that when the ocean starts to inhale, they can scramble over the rocky promontory that juts out between China Beach and Baker Beach in Seacliff. Anyone who doesn't time that scramble just right risks being sucked out into the Pacific. Female adolescence in this novel feels like being sucked out to sea. It's overwhelming, absurd, and dangerous, and even the best adults can't help. Ulibi and her friends have to figure out how to swim back to shore all on their own.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed We Run the Tides by Venda Levita.